Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score. Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him.
Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball, making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down.
Tom Thayer.
The Dog Bears!
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is such an honor that you can't help but feel kind of embarrassed, humiliated, just to have an opportunity to talk to Tom Thayer.
I know.
He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, and we are not worthy, Mr. Thayer. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, Tom.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I got to tell you, Tom, perfect game to open the season. So much to be upset about, so much to feel crazy about, and yet you won the game, and everybody's – all the people that were ready to kind of like, you lousy – oh, well, congratulations on that one. Just a really bizarre finish, right down to the drop touchdown pass by the Lions. Thank you. I don't know what the response is supposed to be.
You know, I think that's kind of the response to every issue that we're facing early on in this season. So now if you take and you put this film to work and you try to make the adjustments and you go out there and you have the same performance in next week and then in 2 weeks, and then it's kind of answering the question. But to me, as a football coach, it's not a finished product. You know it's just the beginning. So it's something that you have to sit there and have a concerned effort to develop what you perceive as your strengths and try to cure some of your weaknesses. And, because I was driving home from Detroit after the game yesterday, I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch this thing closely because there are some encouraging things, but like when you guys were talking to Big Z, there's things that are discouraging too at this point that maybe you can alter, maybe you can change personnel groupings in terms of, some defensive fronts and defensive coverage responsibilities. Maybe you have more faith in the running game, but everybody had a hand in the bad performance, and you know everybody had a hand in the time that really went well for them.
So Tom, for three quarters, I thought Mitch looked a little lost at quarterback, and then he found a way in the fourth to lead his team to victory. And so afterward, the talk will be of resilience and resolve and those kind of intangibles. From your perspective, from your experience, how sustainable and how valuable are those traits, or is that just a lot of coach speak?
Well, you know, I think, you know, it's everybody had a hand. So it's not exclusively Mitch has to get better and the team will get better. You know, it's from the ill-timed pre-jumping of Jimmy Graham. It is throwing the ball behind Cole Kmet at the goal line. It's And I even asked Matt about it after the game about the play calling before the end of the first half. So, you know, everybody's got a hand in making this thing better. And that's one of the, you know, one thing coaches look at is for you to get better. And it, like Coach Danfeld, our offensive line coach, you say, hey, as long as your arrow's pointing up, I'm going to coach you. But as soon as your arrow starts pointing down, that I got to look to replace you. And I think that's the case here because there's so much uncertainty about what was going to happen yesterday. Now it's the evaluation of going back in that room and saying, look, I need improvement out of you. I need improvement out of this segment of our game. And, you know, just try to be better against the Giants than you were against Detroit. But, you know, there are things that as a quarterback that Mitch has to do better earlier in the game. And so, you know, that's something that's an issue that we are kind of faced with all season. Now, you know, hopefully within two or three games, he can live in that fourth quarter comfort zone in the first quarter instead of, you know, making us sit on the edge of our seats for three and a half quarters or, you know, three quarters and then get it turned around. But you do, I'm a lot happier by the ending of where I was at halftime.
The Bears ended up with 28 rushing attempts and they were a yard short of 150. And I guess five times last year, they actually rushed for 28 or more attempts in a game. Did you see a difference in what they were doing? Did you see a commitment to trying to run the ball more? And why was that working and not the passing game? Usually the one sets up the other.
Yeah, you know, 28 carries for me is still not enough. It's approaching. It's getting a little bit better. But, you know, to me, I want the strength of my team always to be the running game and the offensive line because, you know, that's going to provide Mitch an easier opportunity and a play action pass and, you know, put the defense with bigger concerns at the line of scrimmage and open some things up downfield. So, you know, when you look at the statistics of the run game, you know, Mitch had that big run and I don't know what they would be if you took that out of it. But I am more encouraged about the aggressive approach of the offensive line. And Juan Castillo, it was all about physical and finish. And they were more physical at the point of attack. I think Tariq, David Montgomery always does a really nice job of following the point of attack and trying to be creative at the second level. To me, that was one of the things that I was more encouraged about Tariq a majority of the time, that he was following the point of attack and getting to the second level and making some better runs. But, you know, this season is such in his infancy stages. Now they got to get it ready for the next opponent in four and a half days. And, again, it's going to tell more of the story that we'll see, and it'll answer more questions going down the road.
Tom, Matt Nagy referenced the challenge of kind of generating their own enthusiasm on the sidelines in an empty stadium at Ford Field. And I just wonder from your perspective, calling a game in an empty stadium, how unusual was that? And what effect do you think that no fans had on the outcome or just the way things went throughout the game?
Yeah, you know, there was times during the course of the game on the radio and when we were in commercial, I was saying to Jeff, you just imagine the crowd reaction when Detroit was ahead. I think it would have been really difficult for the Bears to have any communication at or near the line of scrimmage. But I was also saying that as soon as Miller caught the touchdown pass, that's exactly what you would have heard in that stadium, dead silence. So it is just something you're going to have to get used to. And you're going to have to create your own emotions. And not necessarily, you know, coming out of the locker room, but individually. You know, that's what you do for a living. You're a professional athlete, and you got to go out there, and you got to play, and you got to create that adrenaline. You know, so, you know, it's something, like I said, when I was in the USFL, I remember playing in the Coliseum against the LA Express, and there was about 14,000 fans there in a 100,000-seat stadium, and it seemed empty, and you could hear the ball boys talking, and you could hear the huddle call. So, it is unique and it's weird, but I think that's the challenge of this season is everything is unique and new.
You know, I was wondering about that just from a gambling perspective. I know that's not your specialty, but I was thinking, you know, you get 3 points for being at home, but does everything change because there is no crowd noise? There's no way of interrupting what the offense is doing. You know, the fact that there are no fans is a huge deal, and I'm not sure the Bears can have that comeback, Tom, in the fourth quarter if there is a crowd because of the difficulty in being able to get the play called, get the ball snapped, and all the little things that the crowd noise will affect, and the momentum and all the rest of it. So that really played into the Bears' hands. I thought it was a huge opening for the Bears, if you will.
I agree with you 100%. I think the crowd noise would have dictated the whole efficiency of the offense at the line of scrimmage. And I know you work with silent counts these days, but there's nothing like going to the line of scrimmage in an opponent's stadium, because I tell you, the positions that it helps the most is the offensive tackles. So you hear Mitch's cadence, you're getting off the ball as equally as fast as the defensive end. So I think it's beneficial. One thing that surprised me late in the game is that Matthew Stafford, there's a couple times he only huddled about 2.5 to 3 yards away from the line of scrimmage. To me, that's when the defensive lines, you know, they try to listen in. They listen into a key phrase, listen to a word that can maybe ignite a thought to what Detroit's going to try to do. So I agree with you, Mully. I think crowd noise would have made it difficult. All, you know, even that big – or. To me, I hate the penalty that was called on Kyle Fuller, because Matthew Stafford led the receiver into Kyle and he tried to hit with his shoulder. The crowd reaction from that, they would have called the penalty. And there's other times during the course of a game that penalties are called because of crowd reaction.
Tom, I think everyone agrees the defense has to be better and they won't give up that many yards on the ground or else they won't have a very good season. What were you most struck by defensively, and how much do you think conditioning or the lack of conditioning contributed to some of those problems?
You know, David, the lack of conditioning is the same for both teams. I was just more disappointed in what I thought was going to be a pretty ferocious pass rush, given that the right tackle was out, the right guard is a rookie, and I was going, wow, you know, Akeem and Khalil, they're going to destroy these guys. They're going to live in the backfield. Matthew Stafford doesn't run very well, but I that was one element that I was disappointed in. There's a couple, you know, defenses called by Chuck Pagano that were really creative that took Detroit out of the play they wanted to run, but It's definitely, when you talk about this being a playoff caliber defense, they got to provide some kind of spark at the line of scrimmage that results in sacks, not just late pressures or late completions down the field.
Just from the initial point of view, it seemed as if they missed Eddie Goldman. It seemed as if, you know, it's asking a lot of a guy to try to be that anchor in the middle of a defense. Not an easy thing for anyone to do. And certainly, you know, double, sometimes triple teams are there for you. And I thought that was fairly apparent just from the naked eye.
Yeah, you're right. That guy in the middle is always going to be hit by multiple bodies. And, you know, offensive line coaches secure the line of scrimmage first and then get up to that second level. And they were doing a nice job, because you look at the path that Adrian Peterson, who really surprised me more than anybody else in the field, how good and durable and powerful he still is at this age. But, you know, he never deviated from the point of attack. And I think the Bears did a nice job creating a point of attack, but so did the Detroit Lions. And, you know, you'll have to investigate different styles of defense. If you think you're a 3-4 defense, or you think you need to put another defensive lineman on the field, whether it's, you know, Blyle, put in Jeff Urban, you got Roy Robertson Harris, and use Khalil Mack, change things up a little bit, put a variety of fronts up there so the offensive line just can't tee off on that guy in the middle.
What'd you think of Jimmy Graham? He obviously in the red zone became a mismatch problem for the Lions, like we thought that he could be in a couple plays. His timing was a little bit off earlier. Overall, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I'm glad he caught the touchdown at the end, but I was disappointed the first two times that Mitch went to him, he jumped too early. And I don't think he really needed to jump, because if you look at the guy covering him, he had a definite height advantage. So, you know, I think, you know, if I was a coach and I was going back to watch his team, the timing issues going forward would be coached as equally as the fundamental and the mental part of the game.
You know, Tom, as you age, they say hang time is one of the first things to go. So he's used to going up there and staying there, and unfortunately, gravity affects him more. That's my conclusion.
Well, I haven't heard hang time since they talk about the punter.
All right, buddy. Thank you a ton. That was really fun. It was great to hear you guys. You did a great job. Yeah. It must have been surreal, but it was really fun. A fun listen.
Good work, Tom.
Yeah, it was. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me.
That's our guy, Tom Thayer. Fascinating stuff. Don't you think it's a hang time issue? You know, when you're younger, you're used to going up early and just staying up there. And
well, you just can't get up as high as you used to get up when you were, you know, leaping. And Jimmy Graham probably realized that yesterday, just about the time when he couldn't reach that first pass that Mitch threw up there for grabs.
It was bizarre, though. It just he looked like me trying to get a rebound. You know, I'm up. I'm ahead of everyone. Oh, my God, I'm coming down. The ball's
jump.
Down.
Yeah, I am jumping
on the rim. Exactly. Quick, slip that piece of paper under my feet. You'll learn it. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Quarterback in Chicago, Mitchell Trubisky, Michael.
He's struggling, Kurt. Just say it. He's struggling, people. You know, this is a young guy. He's under a lot of pressure there. He's got Nick Foles breathing down his neck, and the only way to keep Nick Foles on the sideline is playing well, and he's just not doing it here. Very simple. Step into the throw. I don't know why he's fading back. He misses Graham on that one. Here, he throws the ball way behind the receiver on this hook route. Step into your throws. Don't be afraid. You can't feel this pressure. And he almost got Cole Kmet. He almost got him lit up with another throw. But you, as a quarterback, you have to be above all this.
Your left leg has to be in line with your right arm to be accurate. And if it's out to the left or something like that, you're not going to be accurate.
That's the kind of stuff that we need on the show.
But TB, when you see this kid play like this today, with nobody around him, and he's just not doing that, how do you address that?
You have to make a change. I mean, I know it's the first half of the season, but still, Nick Foles, he's a good quarterback. I mean, he's not the flashy quarterback, but we've seen enough out of Trubisky, I think, at this point, where you might want to go ahead and make this change sooner rather than later.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was at halftime. Tony Gonzalez, well, you got to make a change. And I don't know, David. I certainly, the thought went through my head, oh, my God, well, we've seen this act before.
That was like overhearing every conversation in every living room in Chicago for people watching the game. The Bears were behind 13-6. Mitch had gone 8-for-20. His passer rating was 58.3, 110 yards passing, and you thought, here we go again. The Bears could not get into the end zone. Two field goals was all they had to show for, you know, their supposedly new offense. And I understand where Tony Gonzalez was coming from. I didn't agree, because I just felt like if you were going to make the move and install Mitch Trubisky as your starter, you've got to give any starting quarterback more than two quarters to prove or disprove you right or wrong. But I got the sentiment. It's a very understandable opinion to have after what we watched in the first half, because that was awful.
And the here we go again. Peter King asked Mitch about that last night at some point. Interesting to hear his response to that, David.
Yeah, you know, I think that it also tells you about how remarkable the comeback was, is that Mitch Trubisky is the lead item in Peter King's Football Morning in America column, which is a staple for every NFL fan. It's great stuff, and stays up all night writing it. But, yeah, Mitch talked about how, to summarize, I think he basically saying it was a testament to hard work. And he had to train himself mentally. Or I guess he wanted to avoid, he said, you can't go back to that dark place when you started to wonder about, here we go again. You can't go back to, my stats aren't any good, it's happening again. At times like that, I found myself focusing on my teammates, the guys you grind with. Our relationships run deep. We lean on each other, and I think you've just got to believe in yourself, believe that you can do it. There's still time.
I love that because he says you can't go back to that dark place. I think a lot of us did. I think a lot of people watching, it went through their heads, not, wow, yeah, you know, he's going to grind with his teammates, but, boy, his stats are not good. It's happening again. My God, it's happening again. That's kind of how everyone felt watching that from the outside. And I don't know, again, David, weird, weird season. Nobody in the stands. The fourth quarter is, you're allowed that now on the road to correct the three quarters that came before. And he did.
Right.
He did it.
And,
but
but what? There's a big
But
you still don't believe, do you? You don't. You still don't believe in Mitch, do you? No.
No.
Okay, I don't know that I do either, Mully, and I don't want to pretend I'm going to be swayed by one good quarter against a bad Lions defense that was playing without several starters. But I will.
They
lost
three corners in that game. Well, they had one injured beforehand, and then two starting corners go out.
Absolutely.
Everything's set up for him.
Absolutely. Let's be clear about that. Everything was set up for him to succeed, and the fact that he did shouldn't be as big of a surprise as it is. But I do find myself respecting the way that he went about it, Mully, and I think I come out of that with more respect for Mitch Trubisky, the competitor, because of what what I just read in terms of what he told Peter King and what you heard from him after the game. Was that it could not have been easy to be Mitch Trubisky yesterday in terms of where you started the game. You know, you're so jacked, you're psyched, you are the leader of the Chicago Bears, you want to prove everybody wrong, and then you go out with a clunker of a first half, and you're like, you're proving, oh yeah, here we go again, and then you've got to get out of that pit emotionally again. And you've got to find a way, the way that he found a way, to not let all the – there was no noise. Artificial crowd noise doesn't count. There was really no noise for him to deal with except for what was on the field. And I respect the fact that he found a way, even though I understand that's not sustainable. You can't count on that to happen every week because you're not playing the Lions 15 times down the road.
312-644-6767. What was going through your head? Did you go to a dark place? Just out of curiosity, are you a Mitch guy now? Did anything that happened in that game turn your mind? 312-644-6767. John, we'll start with John. He's in Joliet. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey,
John.
You know what, guys? All the cuss words that I did and said for the first three quarters, I'd be in confession for 24 hours. I mean, this dude, Mitch Trubisky, he is not only bad, but why do they baby and coddle this guy? This guy couldn't hit a bull in the ass with a banjo. This guy is horrible. I am so, you know what? The field goal kicker, he did his job. Cordell Patterson, he did his job. There was a few guys that did some few positive things. But 4 years and another game of Mitch Kraft Trubisky, he sucks.
Thanks, John.
John didn't buy the fourth quarter.
No, he didn't. That's okay. Look, people are going to react the way they want to react. That's understandable. I just the Bears won that game, and after waiting for this game for as long as we waited, that to me is the biggest takeaway. And
they won the game, and they took advantage of the circumstances, which is, look, that's what the whole thing is. You know, you got to be able, if you're given an opportunity, you've got to be able to take it. And say what you want, they sure did take it. 312-644-6767. Doesn't seem to have changed John's mind, though. Let's try Josh. Josh is in McHenry. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Morning, guys. Morning. Obviously loved how the game finished, but, and I think one of you guys mentioned it sometime within the last couple weeks, if you're going to put blame on somebody for how the season's going to go, you're going to put it on the play calling. And at the end of the game, the tempo was up, and Mitch was throwing the ball. He was in a rhythm. But I think they got to just tailor to that a lot more. And first couple, you know, first half had a couple drop balls by, you know, Jimmy Graham receiving core. But I'm sticking with Mitch.
Okay.
Thanks,
Josh,
guys.
That's a good that's a good phone call, not because you're sticking with Mitch, but because I think the observation, the tempo favors Mitch Trubisky, Mully, and I don't know what it is, and we talked about it earlier, but it seems as if when things tend to break down, he steps up, and I don't know if that's a product of him putting too much pressure on himself to stay within the confines of an offense early on or what it is, but we saw it again yesterday, and the more things speed up and the more things break down, that's when he was at his best in the fourth quarter, and that's an interesting trait to have as a quarterback because it isn't what you want for this scheme, but it is what he excels at, I think, the kind of improvisation that he relies on his instincts and his athleticism.
312-644-6767. Sam is in Northlake. Hey, Sam.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Love you guys' show, by the way. You know, hey, Monday mornings, you know, when the Bears win, it's the greatest day of my life.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, but, you know, Trubisky, it's like it's the same old Trubisky. I mean, you know, he gets hot, you know, when he has to, but most of the time he's not. So I want to see Nick Foles do his thing, you know. So, I mean, you know, what's your take on it?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to see Nick Foles at halftime. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of wanted to see Nick Foles maybe in the fourth quarter as that game was going on. I didn't think that Mitch was going to get it done. And you knew the Lions were vulnerable because, again, you know, they lost. They had one potential starter that was out of the game in the corner. And then they lost two corners. So they were down to their fifth corner, who's a special teams guy. They also lost their linebacker. We haven't talked about that yet. That was unbelievable.
Yeah,
he was trying to show the official that David Montgomery had his head down and was running helmet first, and he actually pumped the official with his own helmet to show
demonstrate
him.
Jamie Collins got ejected. Yeah,
Jamie Collins is too good a player to be doing that kind of garbage. Dumb. Just really a stupid move.
It was. That was something that you didn't expect from a guy who was a veteran like that. No. And you have to consider that they were without one of their better defensive players at linebacker as well.
Right. I mean, they were down a lot, and it seemed like they were vulnerable, and the Bears took advantage of it. And I got to tell you, you have to do that. You have to take advantage of the fact that you're on the road and there's no crowd noise and nothing to kind of disturb the rhythm that you're creating, and you have to take advantage that the other team is undermanned. And they did both those things.
They did both those things, and I think you also take advantage of the fact your offensive line was playing at a level that I think showed some improvement. And whether you know, we saw Ifedi at right guard fill in nicely, I thought that Daniels and Whitehair played well enough not to kind of be exposed. And we'll talk to Olin in a little bit, and he'll give us a more of a breakdown. But I thought the offensive line showed progress, Mully, because they did average 5.6 yards per carry, and they were running the ball well enough to keep running the ball. And with Matt Nagy, I think you have to show him that before he commits to that. And so 28 runs weren't enough for Tom Thayer, but it was progress because they only did that five times last year. So they did that in the opener this year. That bodes well.
Let's try Craig. Craig is in Aurora. Good morning, Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Hey, you know, I hear a lot of people bagging on Mitch Trubisky, and he earned some of that. But what about Nagy? You know, if he would have kicked that field goal in the first quarter instead of going for it on 4th and 7, even if the Lions scored a touchdown at the end of the game, they would have only tied it up. I think that the Bears win in spite of their head coach. I think the scheme is wrong for Mitch Trubisky. He's not a pocket passer. He needs to be rolled out and on the run. I think he plays better football that way. And nobody seems to ever focus on Matt Nagy and the decision he's making in the game and the preparation for the game.
All right, we'll run that by Olin. We'll bring in Olin Kreutz next and talk to him about what he saw yesterday from the Bears offense, from the Bears and the big victory. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Olin Kreutz.
It's hard to find wins in the NFL.
Yeah, man.
They found one today. They fought through it. Caught a couple breaks. You got to in NFL. You got to catch a few breaks to win. They ran the ball well. The defense came up. And I think this is going to be a reoccurring theme for this team to win games.
Olin Kreutz.
If you look back at 2018 and you come back now and you look at 2019, what was the difference in those years? I will argue the biggest difference was turnovers. Right. So in the end of the game, they come up with one extra possession for their offense, give them good field position, and now we can go score some points. They're going to need to end up winning that turnover column more times than not to come out with wins.
Olin Cruz.
Everybody's wearing masks right now, and the Chicago Bears should leave the stadium with their mask on because they stole that one, right? They should run out of there, forefield, as fast as they can.
Olin Cruz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Oh, it was Christmas in August or September or whatever month it is. They all ringed together, sadly. And we are delighted to welcome in Olin Cruz. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Good morning, Olin. How are you?
Morning, Olin.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Well, we don't can't figure it out. I mean, we're working on it, and we're happy, and it's always good to have a victory to build on, and it's a victory Monday. But it wasn't exactly this as simple and easy as you thought it might be. It was a little more difficult.
Wait, you guys are confused that Mitch Trubisky played at quarterback, and they didn't score for the first three quarters. And then they had a late comeback. They went no huddle, and they finally started putting the ball in the end zone versus the Lions late in the game against man coverage. And you guys didn't expect that?
No. No, Olin.
I've been watching that for about 21 games now. I've been watching the same story.
So, what's the takeaway from that then? Do you look at from Mitch Trubisky? Do you expect him to build off that? Is that something that can be sustainable? Because you just don't expect them to be down 17 with 18 minutes to go and come back and do what they did.
Is it sustainable? I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get every week where that many starters are out, that the Lions decide that they're going to play nickel defense the whole game, no matter who the Bears put on the field. They put three tight ends on the field. The Lions still stay in nickel defense. By that, I mean they put an extra defensive back in the game, take a linebacker or a defensive lineman out. So it makes it a little easier to run the ball on the offensive line. The box is light. You got the count advantage on almost every run, which is just telling you that the Lions don't think the Bears are going to stick with the run all the way down the field. And that ended up being true for the Lions because the Bears, even when they're running the ball well, that's not when they were scoring their points, right? So it's something to watch as the year goes on. You know, is every team going to lose their top three cornerbacks that come in without Okuda? Trufant goes out. Coleman goes out. And then Will Harris, their backup safety, gives up his third touchdown to a third different Bears tight end. Now Graham, Horsted, and Brodnacker all have touchdowns on the same guy in this game. And then there's a backup cornerback on Miller. So, no, it's not really sustainable. You hope they can build off of this game. But Coach Nagy said after the game that I think he said something like they're not going to put deodorant on how bad they played. And I would hope not. I would hope they'll take a really good look at this film, and they're going to need to improve to beat the better teams in the NFL.
What did you think of the interior of the defensive line without Eddie Goldman?
I thought they struggled against Ragnow. I thought Ragnow, the Detroit Lions center, did a really good job blocking them. They were running some counters in there, some gap scheme counters that seemed to confuse Trevathan. And Roquan Smith and Peterson was coming downhill hard, and the inside of the Lions' offensive line was doing a really nice job blocking the Bears' inside three. So they struggled, but we talked about on the post game and the post last night that seems to be a theme in the NFL this year with the inside run as this season has started. So maybe something that's affecting a lot of the teams in the NFL right now. And you know, Anthony Herrera said something really smart last night. He said, you know, there's a bunch of guys on the field for the Chicago Bears defense that has shown that they can stop the run once they get into their groove for the NFL season and learn to watch this film and learn how to take on, not learn how, but, you know, get yourself ready to take on blocks, squeeze the hole, get off blocks, and make really good tackles.
You know, Olin, from your perspective, and I know you probably haven't got a chance to study it maybe yet, but what did you think about the overall the offensive line in this sort of reconfiguration with Whitehair and Daniels and then adding Ifedi to the mix?
I thought they played really well. I thought watching them, they worked well together. They held it well. They opened up a lot of holes. Like I mentioned earlier, very interesting that the defense, the Lions decided to play, almost just giving them, you have to earn it, but kind of giving them the run game and not putting an extra big body on the field, instead trying to stay in nickel, even with all the injuries they had in the secondary, just trying to stay with an extra defensive back on the field versus the Bears. But they did really, really good in pass blocking, and Mitch was clean most of the game except for the sack fumble he took late in the fourth quarter. But other than that, the Bears offensive line played really well. And again, you know, if you're examining the Chicago Bears, okay, where are we from last year to where are we this year? You go back and you look at the week 13 Lions game up there in Detroit. I think that was on Thanksgiving, and the numbers are almost the same. The numbers are almost the same for the offensive line. You know, Montgomery, although they ran the ball a lot better as a team, Montgomery averaged 4.6 yards a carry last year in week 13. They only gave up one sack to the Lions. So you're waiting for them to do it against better competition. You're a little disappointed it took them that long in a game in the fourth quarter. But look, you take the win and you run out of there with your mask on like we talked about yesterday.
What about, you know, there's so many things that we heard about Mitch. So many, you know, he's a new man. He's got this leadership ability. He sees the field differently. His foot works better. When you evaluate all those things, I mean, the fourth quarter is great. But leading up to that point, you know, we played Tony Gonzalez at halftime saying you got to change quarterbacks. Did that thought go through your head at any point as you watched it?
Yes, it did. It did go through my head. And it's hard because you don't want to just keep, you know, saying a bunch of negative things about Mitch. But when you're analyzing this team and you're watching the film and you're watching the game and, you know, you're rewatching kind of the TV copy this morning, you don't see a guy who played a really, really good game, right? And there was that pass by the end zone. I think it was at the end of the second quarter where he threw it up. You know, and I don't even know if Miller was running the wrong route again, but he just ended up flying out of bounds. He doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. Doesn't seem to be seeing receivers are open. There was a blitz in the first half where Mooney, who I thought played really well, was an interesting wide receiver to watch as this season goes on. But he's running wide open, and Mitch just seems to be locked into Allen Robinson again. So a little worrisome that you're watching the same quarterback on the field. And when I say the same quarterback, guys, I mean, this is the exact same quarterback we've watched. I mean, he did the exact same thing against the Lions. You know, I don't know. You guys can punch up his numbers after I get off the line about versus the Lions, but this is who Mitch is. And at the end of the day, you saw him in his post-game interview. He even sounded shocked when he said, yeah, they were kind of in the same defense. So I threw the same route to Miller, right? And, yeah. Miller beats McCray, number 34, who was not supposed to be playing that game. And it's just, you know, you're worried about, you know, Mitch is going to have to show that he is a different quarterback, that all that offseason work did work for him, that his footwork is better. Because like they were saying on the halftime show, he was throwing off his back foot. He did not look comfortable in the pocket early in the game. And look, he takes that sack fumble like we talked about. Guys, it's under 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So the fourth quarter wasn't just all, you know, wasn't just he just played amazing, right? He took a sack fumble, got them into a fourth and 41. They're down 23-13 under 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. And you're saying with this offense, no way in hell they're going to win. But the Lions are going to lion. And they start calling their, you know, Stafford throws that interception. And the young cornerback who also looks like a player, Jalon Johnson, with number 33 on, does like a peanut punch. And, you know, we're all like, what? Like, it was like watching the old number 33. And then there's an interception and we got a short field and we're moving the ball, you know. So a lot of things have to happen. Yesterday, Prater misses that field goal. They got good field position there again, too. So a lot of things have to happen to win that game. And I think we can all agree that we won the game. And Mitch, he'd have to play a little better. And I hate to just say Mitch, but when you look at the run game and then you look at the offensive line blocking and the tight end improvement from last year, and we still are not scoring points in the first three quarters, it's a problem.
I think the Bears would also agree, Olin, they have to rush the passer better than they did yesterday. They did not get to Stafford as much as I think people expected. Did not have Robert Quinn. And I wonder what your concern level is when you see kind of the curiosity or maybe mystery surrounding his injury. He did not play. What are your thoughts there, and why didn't the pass rush work?
You know, I don't want to guess on guys' injuries. I just hope that he is healthy this week and up and running, because I think we were all excited about that, you know, Quinn lining up opposite of Mac with Akeem Hicks on the field. And I'm as baffled as you guys with their rookie right guard. The Lions had Jonah Jackson out of Ohio State, their third-round pick, playing against Akeem Hicks. I thought Akeem was really going to dominate that matchup. He really didn't. Jonah Jackson blocked it pretty well. And then, you know, Halapuli Vaitai was out, their starting right tackle from the Eagles. And Tyrell Crosby, their backup right tackle, was in. And you thought that Mac was going to really take advantage of that matchup, and he didn't. So the Lions O-line played really well. And really, if you ask me what I saw, I just saw these guys blocking those guys. They were blocking them most of the game. Now, obviously, the Lions had a plan for these guys, and they were sliding the center to Akeem Hicks, and they're chipping on Mac. But you got to get home eventually. And that's why they're getting all that money, Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. And we got to dominate those kind of matchups. So I, like you, was expecting that to be a big advantage for the Bears, and it really wasn't. And some of that is the fact that they couldn't stop the run, you know, especially later in the game. I think that was like a fourth quarter drive when the Lions were trying to put it away. Adrian Peterson was really coming downhill at the Bears. And like I said, Frank Ragnow had a really good game in the middle there, controlling the middle of that line of scrimmage. But look, not every team has a Frank Ragnow at center. So we'll see as this year goes on. Was it just a bad matchup? Does the Lions have themselves a really good young center? Or do we have a problem there in the middle of the defense?
Olin, we'll let you go just very quickly. 20 seconds. I'm going to start the clock. Okay. What about the idea of them having an identity on offense? That's something Nagy talked about. Did you see any identity to that offense?
Yeah, we just talked about it. I saw the identity. They couldn't score until they went into their no huddle. and someone gave them man-to-man defense. I know this identity. I don't know why you guys are all so confused.
That's beautiful. All right, Olin. God bless you.
Right,
thanks,
guys,
buddy.
Good stuff, Olin.
That really is their identity, you know? Rely on the other team to try to continue to play the same defensive sets, even though they're on their, what, fourth or fifth corner.
Improvise.
Yeah.
And make it up as you go along.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.